Podcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us for this next hour. May the blessings of our Lord rest upon us. Praise the Lord for the hour He's given us just over with, and now we look to Him in this hour. Our Father, we do look to Thee. Thank Thee for the hour You've given us that's done past now from us, but oh, the blessings that You've left with us, those purposes Thou hast dropped in our hearts. And how Thou hast made us to rejoice and know that You're with us, You're in us, and Thou dost govern all things, has control of everything. And Father, we want to thank Thee for Your mercies, Your grace You've given us day by day. Thank Thee, our Lord, for calling us, saving us, blessing us, giving us Your own self, given us the blood to cleanse us, the blood that makes an atonement for the soul, given the promises of Thy word that assures us that everything is working together for our good and for Your glory. And Father, we pray for this people, for the saints, that may their hearts rejoice today in knowing Him, in knowing that calling wherewith they were called. And Father, that we may walk in holiness, in truth, in love, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of love, the bond of peace. And our dear Heavenly Father, we pray Your blessings upon every listener out in Radio Land, upon the sick in the hospital as they listen this morning. Bless their hearts. Oh, the loved ones who sit by their side, our Father, as they listen, deal with their hearts, open their hearts, especially this one, our Father, we're thinking of now, open her heart, as You did the heart of Lydia. Oh, may there be tears of joy flowing from her as she looks to Christ and see Him who died for her. And our blessed Lord, we pray for many others out there who are listening to us now. Lay hold of them by Thy grace. And may the Holy Spirit write the promises upon their hearts. Promises that will sustain them, that will help them. And our Father, the blood that will be applied to their heart. Keep us in this hour. Humble our hearts. Keep them broken at Thy feet, and every individual out in Radio Land. And may this day be a day of praise and thanksgiving, for surely Thou art in our midst. For Christ's sake, we ask it all in His name. Amen. Now let's be seated and turn to number 193. 193, Him That Cometh Unto Me. Everybody sing. Thank you. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And as he tells us, says, come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and in me you shall find rest. You know, you shall find rest for your soul. That's what the Lord tells us. And the soul needs rest. Needs rest. You need rest. The sinner needs rest. Has to come to Christ to get it. Nowhere else. Come unto me. That's the great invitation. It's given in God's word. Come unto Christ. Come unto me. That's one of the greatest invitations. God's word. Come unto me. Come unto Christ. Come ye thirsty. Come ye to the waters. Come ye, drink. Without money. Come by without money. Come to Christ. Yes, I praise the Lord for the great invitations of His Word. One day I heard that call, come unto me. And by the grace of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, He drew me unto Christ, brought me to Him. I wanted Him. I longed after Him. I desired after Him. I was coming. I wonder how many sinners today within the sound of my voice say, I'm coming. I'm coming. Might take me a long time, but I'm coming. I'm coming to Christ. That invitation is open to me. I'm coming. I'm coming. All right, now let's sing another song. Let's sing Christ Receiveth Sinful Men, 190, number 190. Songs tells you about Christ receiving sinful men. Yes, He does. He did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Sinners. Are you a sinner? I'm afraid that some haven't never seen themselves a sinner. You might have seen where you've done wrong, But have you ever seen yourself a sinner? Some say, I've seen myself a drunkard, I've seen myself a harlot, or I've seen myself this and that. But have you ever seen yourself a sinner? You ever seen the old sin nature? That's what you mourn over. God shows you that. You'll mourn over your old sin nature, your old corrupt nature. Never get through mourning over it. But rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ who came to save sinners. Praise the Lord. Now let's turn again in our Bibles to the 37th Psalm. We want to continue what we began with last Sunday. The 37th Psalm, let's read it together. Someone told me, or a couple have told me, just reading the Word blessed my heart. And that's true. Just reading the Word. And I'm going to read the chapter again, the 37th chapter. The Word of God. It'll bless our hearts. There's something in there for every one of us here this morning. You brought your Bible, let's read it. Turn to it, the 37th Psalm. Fret not thyself. We looked at that word fret, worry, fume, get all over anxious. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You know, I almost caught myself this week. In fact, I did. Something that was said, some words spoken, and I begin to fret. And I haven't learned the lesson myself in reality, and I got caught myself as, why should I fret? Why should I fume? Or why should I get myself all excited? I guess I was such like a little extra nervous this week for some reason. I'm kind of a little nervous this morning. And I don't know whether it's because of the burden of the services here and at Hattiesburg. My heart is burdened for that service tomorrow and the service in Hattiesburg tonight. So you pray for me. Lord, give us strength. But let's fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass. In other words, those that bother you, they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Now that's our duty. Now that's our duty right there, is to trust in the Lord and do good. And so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Rest in Him. Rest in Him, saint. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for Him. That's a hard thing, isn't it? To wait patiently for the Lord. It is. But then, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean one who prospers in money and wealth, but who prospers in the things that he's doing. Maybe he's prospering in his work, his work of iniquity, in his sins, or his actions against you, and you seem to hang your head sometimes, and trying to do what you like the Lord commands you to do by His help, and be silent at times. But sometimes it's not easy just to be silent, is it? And you just want to hang your head, and they seem like they get a lot of joy out of saying mischievous things about you or doing evil towards you. But listen, it said, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Where is he? What happened to him? You don't wish or anything upon them. You're looking to the Lord. He is the righteous judge. You see, we do not seek vengeance. But, you know, the children of God are the apple of his eye. They are his beloved. He loves them. And he's God. He's sovereign. He's just. And he will deal out that which is necessary. Then again, he may delay his punishment, his judgments. He has a purpose in everything, doesn't he? Everything works together for good to them that love God. And we don't go around wishing evil upon our enemies. But we leave the judgments of our enemy with the Lord. Listen, for yet a little while, that 10th verse again, and the wicked shall not be. He may prosper in his way for 50 years. But that's a short time in the eyes of God. Listen, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place. It shall not be. But the meek, that humble individual, that saint, that child of God, the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotted against the just, and gnashed upon him with his teeth. Now, the wicked plotted against the just, that justified individual who's abiding in Christ, and Christ abides in him. That individual justified by the grace of God. You know, the wicked plotted against him. That's natural for them too. It is. And gnashed upon him with his teeth, because his testimony convicts him. Cannot stand them. I had this week someone to say, "And I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were a Christian." You know, people have a vague idea what a Christian is. That's certainly true. What a Christian is. Now let's go on. The Lord shall laugh at him. They may laugh now, but the wicked, the Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Listen to that. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Now you get that. They may get theirs probably. Honestly, maybe dishonestly. and you are getting yours honestly, making it honest, but you're not absolved in making money and riches and fame and gathering things into your barns and like the wicked are doing. But a little that a righteous man hath. Now, you who are probably under, some of you are underpaid. You may not be getting as much as others. You may be getting off the welfare, drawing Social Security, and you're doing all you can to live by those means. It may be skimpy at times, but if you're a child of God, let me tell you something. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Those who prosper in their way and know not the Lord, you're better off. I know I see a picture every now and then, and you see it across in the bookstore, or and some of us have in your home by a lowly man there, praying, thanking God for that piece of bread he's got before him, or that cup of water, whatever it might be, in thanksgiving. Humble, thank you, Lord. A little that a righteous man hath is better than all the riches of the wicked, of those who prosper in their way and care less for the things that you care for. Yes. So, now, let me repeat that again. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright. He knows the days of the upright. And their inheritance shall be forever. To know that I have an inheritance with the saints, with the saints of God. I have a heavenly home. I know I was singing that song this week. I'm going home. I'm going home to die no more. My heavenly home is far above. It certainly is. One day I'm going home to my heavenly home. And the little that I have down here is more than all the riches that are attained by others. Those individuals do not know Christ. They shall, look at 19 verse, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the time of evil, in the evil days when destruction cometh upon this world. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Yes. You know, we're facing one of the greatest famines this world ever has ever known. And there's a famine of the truth today. Do you know that? You think about that. The love of many waxing cold. Then seemingly there's not the love of the truth like it ought to be and like we hope it to be. That one day there's coming a famine. You know, individuals are going to seek the truth and they'll never be able to find it. And that's the reason why God's given us the truth here. And don't you let it slip from you. Don't you stop seeking the truth and that truth that leads you to Christ, knowing the truth, the knowledge of the truth. Because when you do, then you're setting in a famine in your heart and life, and the day will come where you won't even desire or have no desire whatsoever to want to know the truth. And there'll be a famine set up in your heart. And like is in the heart of so many. But listen, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. That child of God, whether has little or much, or whether they only receive just a little, There won't be any famine in that life. That's like individuals who are working on jobs and they've been paying, they've been buying because of all the overtime they've been making. And then all of a sudden that overtime is cut out and they're left with a great debt. And then, which caused them to worry and fume, become vexed, and begin to say evil things against the employer, and things like that. But you see what has happened? They are suffering for their greed and for their covetousness. There are individuals who always, there's nothing wrong with working overtime. But when you become greedy after it and covetous after it, until it drains you, until it drains truth out of you, then you have gotten yourself in a mighty perilous situation. Listen, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Get ourselves in debt and everything else, trying to live like the world, trying to live like others, trying to have fashionable homes like others, and estates and everything else, and trying to keep up with the Joneses. You can get yourself into some mighty, a terrible condition. Certainly can. You know, the Word of God tells us that God tells us He will satisfy us in the time of famine. And if you have a little, then it wouldn't be hard to satisfy you. It certainly wouldn't. Now let's look at the 20th verse. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as fat as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked bore it and paid not again, but the righteous showed mercy and give it. And that's the difference there. Listen, the wicked bore it and pay it not again, but the righteous showed mercy and give it. The wicked bore it. How many people borrow money and never pay it again? Never pay it back? How many individuals take advantage of the good nature of individuals, companies, whoever it may be, and never have any intentions of paying it back? I don't know how many of who bought books from our bookstores, preachers, and everybody else. And if we would get all the money that's out and people would pay back their debts, we wouldn't have such a strain in paying for those books across the street. And we have to constantly remind individuals they owe this, they owe that. And the first one of them will say, well, ooh, it slipped my mind, and this and that. And we have preachers like that, as well as individuals who are not preachers, and probably a lot of them not saved. They just want books. They want books, but they don't want to pay for them. It's just like if you owe money to one of the companies. You buy or furniture or whatever it might be, and you buy it, and you have no intentions of paying it. Well, that's a good sign that you're not saved. For one thing, the wicked borrow it. Doesn't pay again. It doesn't pay. That's what it said. The wicked borrow it and pay it not again. The Bible says to owe no man, which means that if you buy anything, whether if you be on credit, be sure you pay that debt, you see? Don't you try to beat the other man out of his money. Like I used to hear somebody say some time ago, he's got more money than us, he can afford all of that. That's beside the point. You're doing business with him. And he's giving you things and looking for return that money, return that material that you bought with money. The wicked borrow it and pay it not. I wonder if anybody in this audience this morning out in radio land and you owe money to different individuals, but you decide you're not going to pay them. You borrowed money some time ago from individuals and you still haven't paid it. And that's true. And the individual you borrowed from won't say anything. They have such kind hearts and tender spirit, and you'll take advantage of those things. But listen, if you borrowed money from individuals, and you know you have borrowed it on a promise of paying them, and if you don't pay them, that's a good sign you don't know anything about the Lord. Now you think about that. The wicked borrow it, and he's talking about the wicked, the individual is not saved, and pay it not again. But the righteous show it mercy and give it. They won't withhold what they owe. They'll give. Pay it back. I know I used to buy books in the bookstore, and I still do. But in my early Christian life, I'd buy it. I didn't have the money. And the pastor or Mrs. Shelton, one of them, would hand me the book and say, well, the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of you. He won't let you forget. And if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, you can be sure the Lord is not going to let you forget. Now let's go on. The righteous showed mercy and give it. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Isn't that wonderful? The steps of a good man, a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Praise the Lord for that. And how often have I heard that? Experienced that. How often? Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Praise the Lord. He lifted us up. First he lifted us up off the dunghill. And then after he saves us, he lifts us up when we're down and out. When we think we're gone, done gone forever, he's the lifter up of our head. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. I know I've come in contact with different individuals this week, and some have said critical things to me, and I lost sleep over some things. But here, yesterday, the day the Lord lifted my spirit, lifted me up. He lifted my head, was hanging, but he lifted and raised my head to where I rejoice that I'm in God's company. I'm in the land of the living. And that he takes care of us. Listen. That's what the word of God means. The steps of a good man, which means a righteous man, that individual who knows the Lord, are ordered by the Lord. Everything that touches our lives are ordered by the Lord. And the Lord designs everything. Every attack of Satan, all of our adversaries, everything that's hurled against us, are ordered by the Lord. You see? Now you get that. But that individual delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Be cast down, but not utterly cast down. Not utterly forsaken. Isn't that wonderful? We'll go through perilous waters sometimes, but he says, the river shall not overflow thee. Isn't that wonderful? Did they think about that? Though we travel through the waters, go through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. He's the keeper of our souls. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David, listen to this 25th verse. Listen, everybody, look in that Bible, in your Bible there. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My, my, does that rejoice your heart? Coming from the old psalmist, says, listen, my children, listen to ye down through the generations. Let me tell you what's happened to me. Let me tell you how the Lord took care of me and how I've seen the hand of the Lord in everything. I was once young, but now I'm old. But yet, he goes on, he said, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's one of the things that's so wonderful about being in the Lord, knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The 29th verse. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Whatever means possible. Whatever means it might have at hand. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Who shall condemn us? Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Now, a green bay tree is an enormous tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found. But mark the perfect man. Now you look at that. Mark the perfect man, that righteous man, who is walking in the will of his God. Listen. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The end of that man is peace. There is peace that waits at the end of the way for that man. It's the peace of God that comforts him, that keeps him, that passeth knowledge. It's the peace of God that meets him at the end of the way. And peace in dying. The peace of Christ. You mark that man. He's letting the world go by. He's letting the fashion of this world pass away. He's got his eyes on the King. He's journeying towards a heavenly home, to a spiritual habitation. He's walking along the road of grace. That individual is not turning to the right nor to the left. He has one course. And with the Apostle Paul, when he comes down the end of the way, he can say with the Apostle Paul, I have finished my course. I have run the race. But watch him when he comes to the end of his way. Mark him. Keep your eyes upon that individual. The way of that individual, the end of that individual is peace. It's peace. It's not fear there. Fear of the grave. Torments of hell. No. But a peace of everlasting life. victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. That's peace. Peace. Mark that perfect man. Listen to 38 verse. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Now look at that, fret not, in that first verse. Third verse, trust in the Lord. The fourth verse, delight thyself in the Lord. The fifth verse, commit thy way unto the Lord. And then the seventh verse, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And mark that man, and at the end of that man's life, there is nothing but peace. Now last Sunday, we thought upon that first verse, fret not thyself because of evildoers. And then that next verse, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed. I want us to look at this time at that fourth verse. Look at the fourth verse. Delight thyself in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Delight thyself in the Lord. Well, it's to make the Lord Jesus Christ the joy and the rejoicing of thy spirit. All right? Where do you find your joy? Now, that's the telltale right there, whether you know the Lord or not. If we're to make delight thyself in the Lord, believer. You know the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. Make the Lord Jesus Christ the joy and rejoicing of thy spirit. The wicked delights themselves in their position. They delight themselves and in what things that they do that are contrary to the Word of God and to the commandments of God. Now let us take delight in Him. Let us take our delight in our position in Christ. Let's make Christ the joy of our life. Let's do that. Let us not joy in anything but Him. And then the wicked, we have cause to pity them, but He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now those who delight themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ desire only to ask for that which will please Him and no more. You'll ask it for His will and for His glory. Now let's look at verse 5. Look at that. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, what does that word commit mean? It's a wonderful expression here. I've heard it before by a late pastor, and I've taken it up, and others have. Well, when you commit your way to the Lord, well, it means to roll all the burden of life upon the Lord. All right? Commit thy way unto the Lord. In other words, roll all the burden of life, everything, upon the Lord. Peter tells us, casting all of our cares upon Him, for He cared for us, you see? So commit, roll all of ourselves, the burden of our life, upon the Lord. In other words, cast away anxiety. Resign thy will unto the Lord. And as I just read, casting all of our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. Do you know that? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ cares for you? Then I know He cares for me. Then let's roll all those burdens upon Him. He is our sin bearer, and He is our burden bearer. Then look at verse 6 quickly. Our time is running out. and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And of course, we read the verses of scriptures pertaining to that. That was verse 23, and then 37 through 39 of that psalm. It do us all good. We go home, read it over. Read it over carefully. And think of some of the things that were said this morning in regards to the study here, the 37th. Now the Lord shall bring forth his child over every accusing tongue and over every slanderer. Now, he did with our late pastor. He did it for others through the ages, his servants. He'll do it for me, for you, as his child. He'll bring us over every accusing tongue, for their tongue shall go down. They'll go down, and they'll perish. Just like the gainsaying of Korah, a Korah's tongue that lashed against Moses and his slanderous tongue. And so therefore, every slanderer will go down in judgment. Let me read that again. Let me repeat that again. The Lord shall bring forth his child over every accusing tongue. Now you may accuse God's servant of things or that are not true, but just to get back at them and just to disgrace their names and their reputation. But that tongue is going to go down under judgment. Now you think about that. God is not going to forget the works of the wicked. And there are individuals who have slandered God's servants from this pulpit. And through the printed page. And through letters. And they think that God's forgotten it. But he hasn't. They may have gone off and done religious duties and covered up their activities with a religious veneer, but God hasn't forgotten it. For every tongue that shall rise against us shall go down in judgment. That's the word of God. And every individual who has rose up against God's servants, no matter who they were, or who they are today, they'll go down in judgment. And they're trying to cover it up now, I've noticed it lately, with religious activities and duties and preaching and trying to cover up all they've done in the past, but they can't do it. And the only way they can cover up is in repentance under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is only the blood that can cover their sins. But it must be made through confession and repentance and coming as a lost, guilty sinner before at the feet of Christ before they ever know anything about forgiveness and to have that accusing tongue and slanderous tongue covered and forgotten by God. Now, I've been listening. My ears have been opening and I've been seeing things. And there's many people who are trying to cover up their wicked works, their evil ways, just a veneer religious covering. It stinks in the nostrils of God. The Lord shall bring forth his child over every accusing tongue and over every slanderer. Go on and slander. Go on and accuse God's servant. But brother and sister, you'll not win. You'll lose. And the best thing you can do is repent. And that's the only thing you can do if you want God to have mercy upon you, is repent. Now that seventh verse, rest in the Lord. We're going to close with that thought. Be silent before the Lord. Wait patiently before the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now there is no set time in waiting before him. Now, I'm going to have to leave in Radio Land. Our time has gotten by. I will close this out. You can get it on the tape. And so, here is next Sunday morning, The Voice of Truth, 7 till 8, and the 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air in the 11 o'clock worship hour. Pray for me, will you? And may the blessings of our Lord rest upon you. Goodbye. God bless you. Yes, rest in the Lord, which means be silent before the Lord. Wait patiently before the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I would that sinners wouldn't get discouraged, over-anxious, impatient in waiting before the Lord. Seems you're fretting yourselves. You don't know where to run, where to go. And here we have the Word of God before us that we read to you this morning. Rest there. Rest at the feet of Christ. Be silent before Him. Wait patiently. And so the saint must learn it. Wait patiently before the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Oh, I want to be so much like Christ. I want victory over this and over that. It hadn't come like I expected. But you know, the Word of God tells us to wait. Victory over our adversaries. Victory over the workers of iniquity. But it hadn't come. And we wonder why. Wait patiently before the Lord. In other words, be silent. Sinner, get silent before God. Be silent. Shut your mouth. Be silent before the Lord. And He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now there is no set time in waiting before Him. Now, we don't watch the clock or the days. The Lord is worth waiting for. Now if you want to know Him, the Lord is worth waiting for. And that's true. The Lord is worth waiting for. If it's 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, what is that compared with eternity? You think about that. The Lord is worth waiting for. He never is before His time. Now you listen to this last thought. He is never before His time, and He is never too late. Now you get that. Wait. He'll come. Tarry. Now He may tarry long, but He will not tarry always, but He will come, and when He does come, He will come quickly. Now, I've come to the close of this study, which you might want to call it this morning, admonition, with a prayer in my heart for the message and for you, preaching to myself, you listening in. And may God's richest blessings rest upon you. My heart's desire is that you'll come to know Christ if you don't know Him. And as His children, that you'll be filled with the joy of Christ. With His joy, be satisfied with Him. And yet, you'll be able to say with the psalmist, I'll only be satisfied when I awaken His likeness. But here upon this earth, I'll be contented and get my satisfaction in Him. Receive it. No, we're not quite satisfied here, are we? But when we get to glory, we will be completely satisfied. So praise the Lord. And He's working everything together for our good, for His glory. And may we receive the instructions this morning kindly, humbly, and ask God's blessings upon them to every heart. Let's stand. Be with us tonight with Brother A.J. Lovis, who will have charge of the services. Come and be here in the prayer service and pray for me in the worship service tonight. God will have a message for you. Our Father, we trust the words of life that we've spoken this morning in the hands, thy hands. We pray you'll bless them. Use them for thy glory. And our Father, may encourage sinners, encourage saints. May there be a crying out unto thee, a looking unto our Lord. And may there be a resting in him, committing our way unto him, rolling all of our burdens upon thee, knowing you care for us. Help us in this hour. Be with us as we journey to Hattiesburg tonight. The services, the funeral services of tomorrow, and the services of the week. We trust it in thy hands, for you care for us. Lead us and keep us. Bring us back tonight. Bless all the services and all the missions. In Christ's name we ask it, and for his sake, amen.